Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Hey, welcome everybody. It is 6 minutes past six, the beginning of a new week. It's Monday, and I got a question for you. You think Donald Trump is going to put forward a serious campaign effort in Oregon? Well, I mean, if you judge Brad Parscales, his campaign manager's op-ed in the Statesman Journal, I would say probably so. The title of it is Pie in the Sky Environmental Plans Threaten Budgets and the Jobs, Budgets, and the Environment Itself. So what do you think will happen if Donald Trump does come to Oregon? Would it help down ticket? Would it help move the state Republicans a little bit closer to being bold, shall we say, standing up for values and principles? What do you think? Also, it's an interesting thing that AG Barr, Attorney General Barr, remember we talked about this last week. He has rejected a rule from the Supreme Courts of both Oregon and Washington State that bar courthouse immigration arrests. There's one little problem with that, and these justices know it. That's a rule. There's a thing called the Supremacy Clause, long established in U.S. law by the U.S. Supreme Court, and with about a bazillion cases behind it that has strengthened it. And what it says is state law cannot trump federal law. Now, state laws can be stronger than federal law, but they cannot tell state or federal, state laws cannot tell federal people like immigration officers that they cannot arrest people in courthouses. And that's what this new rule, remember we talked about it, that's what this new rule does. Now, this brings up an interesting dilemma in many ways. What happens if these Supreme Court justices just say, I don't care. Doesn't matter about the supremacy clause. We think it's wrong. We're going to bar them anyway. How would they do that? No, I'm quite serious. If you're an ICE officer, you've got a gun, you're a federal officer, and you walk into a county courthouse. Let's say Multnomah County Courthouse, downtown Portland. And there's some illegal there. And that illegal is there for a hearing on something. And an ICE officer says, okay, we're going to arrest you now, as he's leaving the building. Because, you know, maybe the illegal's there for whatever reason. Okay. Maybe he's not in custody. Maybe he is. And he's being released. What is the Multnomah County Sheriff going to do? Is there going to be an armed confrontation between, say, ICE officers and the Multnomah County Sheriff's deputies? Really? You see, the letter that Attorney General Barr and the acting secretary of ICE said to justices, to these two justices of both Washington and Oregon, that these immigration officers don't need warrants signed by a judge. They added that under the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution, the rules, quote, cannot and will not govern the conduct of federal officers, unquote. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, I go back to Donald Trump. Oregon and Washington are sanctuary states. Kate Brown's executive order and Kate Brown's law that she asked to be introduced along with Ellen Rosenblum, Oregon's sleepy attorney general, They asked this law to be introduced. It was introduced. It was passed by the Democrat-controlled legislature in 2017, and it led to the release of not one, but several bad illegal aliens. Because what it said is it said that ICE detainers are not a reason for state or local law enforcement authorities to be honored. Just because an ICE detain, because it isn't a warrant signed by a judge. Okay. So that led to Sergio Martinez being released. And he was the 20 times deported illegal alien that got released by Multnomah County Sheriff Mike Reese. And Mike Reese cited the new law, even though the new law was, it had been passed, it hadn't quite gone into effect yet. He cited it anyway. And guess what? 5 days later, Sergio Martinez rapes a 65-year-old woman in her home, and then later that day, he goes on to nearly beat to death a 24-year-old woman. And at his sentencing hearing in Salem, where he got 35 years in state prison, at his sentencing hearing, he told the relatives of these two women that he would see them all in hell. Nice guy. He had an ICE detainer request against him when Mike Reese, the sheriff of Multnomah County, released him, citing Kate Brown's law, which said they're not going to honor them. So what would have happened if they had been aware that he was going to be released, ICE, and they'd been waiting for him? What this is setting up, my friends, is the opportunity for stories like Sergio Martinez to be used in the next election by Donald Trump, because he, as you know, is not letting this issue go. This issue, by the way, speaks powerfully into people's emotions. We talk a lot about that, don't we? We talk a lot about, and we did last week, about empowerment, right? What would it take for you to feel empowered? That you could actually go make a difference. That Oregon is not too far gone to be able to make a difference. That you could actually persuade the persuadables. I go back to this data that we've talked about. That the Democrats have, apparently, that they think a third of non-affiliated voters in Oregon are conservative. That's an opportunity. And we're going to see that opportunity because the first week of the February session on Thursday, not on Friday, folks, but on Thursday, Timber Unity is having a big rally at the Capitol. Now, Friday, I host a monthly, third Friday of every month, political meeting of activists. It's a closed meeting. It's called the Oregon Taxpayer Coalition. It's in association with Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. You see him on Fox and CNN and other places. It's a group that is fighting bad free market efforts and including, and while they're very supportive of the president, they're fighting some of his policies. Okay. One of them has to do with vaping. There was a meeting Friday, and I have not seen the outcome of that meeting, and I've seen the information. It was a private meeting at the White House about this, the vaping thing, right? For which Kate Brown was roundly slapped down. Well, the president is sort of changing his policy now because he's understanding a little bit, and this is what this meeting at the White House was all about. Is helping the president and his proposed ban understand what it means to small businesses. And there's a story about that in Oregon, too, because there's some new regulations. This is on the Oregon Business Report. You can see it if you go to OregonWatchdog.com. There's a new proposed legislation from Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives that would add enormous burden to small businesses. Now, there's a place I'm going with all of this, so just hang with me for a moment here. with cap and trade legislation that's going to be back in the February session. Timber Unity already has, and this was revealed at our taxpayer coalition meeting by a member of the Timber Unity group, that on this Thursday, the first Thursday of the legislative session, there will be a Timber Unity rally. And there are already 3,000 log trucks signed up to be a part of this. There'll be tractors, there'll be farmers. 3,000. The last, that big rally that they had was a little over 2,000. Over 3,000 now. Does that give you hope? Who does that speak to? A lot of those people, friends, are not Republicans. If you add in what Attorney General Barr's letter does in setting up a fight over illegal aliens, this is one of those persuadable issues. It's a persuadable issue to think, and we'll go through Brad Parscale's op-ed in the Salem Statesman Journal. It's an opportunity for you to present this issue to people who are maybe kind of on the fence on it, right? The persuadables. Again, in a way that moves them. Now, if Trump actually comes to Oregon, and you know, just read between the lines of this op-ed piece, I think it's a very, very strong case that he, in fact, will come to Oregon. In fact, there are plans being made right now. I was told yesterday by a grassroots activist, there are plans being set forth right now for a tri-state, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho meeting rally for Donald Trump, maybe in Pendleton and maybe at the Pendleton Roundup Fairgrounds. Okay. Maybe. All right. If that's the case, if that comes together, what a great place to do that. Now, I frankly would love to see Trump come to downtown Portland, Portland Convention Center, and hold a rally right into the belly of the beast. Wouldn't that be a great place to do that? That's where I think he ought to be holding it. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Would you feel empowered if Donald Trump came to Oregon and talked about themes that Brad Parscale says in his op-ed is really on the mind of the president, including cap and trade, including illegal aliens, including ridiculous regulations on small business. Boy, mom, back in a moment with your phone call.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. What if, and by the way, we're going to go to Ron in a moment who's on the phone. What if you believe that Donald Trump is the chosen one? Huh? Chosen by God? On top of all these things we just talked about, okay? What if you're a person of faith and you accept the idea, like retiring Secretary of Interior, former Texas Governor Rick Perry is saying in a new Fox News, it's all being leaked, folks, saying in a new Fox News interview, that Trump was God's chosen one to be president. What if there is a powerful moving within the church communities of America to pray for this president, not just because of policies, friends, but because a belief that God uses imperfect people to do wonderful things for him and for his kingdom, wonderful things that impact people's lives in a very positive way. Let me go read the Bible. Look at history. Look at our founders. Go look in the mirror if you want to see an imperfect person. I know I do. And yet, I know that God uses me and has used me in my time in public service and what I do even to this day in politics has used me as imperfect as I know I am. What if the church rises up and people say, okay, we have to stand to elect an imperfect man. After all, we're not electing saints. Electing people to lead us. Not a one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were saints, folks. Yet they created for you and I an opportunity to live in the greatest nation, to have the greatest opportunity to live our lives free, to worship God, to stand for what we believe. Man, what a powerful thing. Imperfect human beings. What if? I mean, you know, evangelicals voted for Donald Trump, but man, there's a lot of room for more of them, too. What would happen? What would happen in Oregon? Now, think about that. If you take the timber unity movement, if you take the illegal aliens being given free health care, being given free everything by Kate Brown, including free abortions, if you take the crazy ideas that hurt your local mom-and-pop store, mom-and-pop business, with new regulations being proposed by Nancy Pelosi, if you take all of that stuff and then add it to the church coming together, what do you think the outcome could be in Oregon? Let's go to the phones, and we'll talk to a guy that probably has an opinion about that. Ron, good morning. How are you, brother?
Oh, Jeff, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to address both angles. Number one, I want to call out to my Oregon State beekeepers, a little association throughout the state. You better jump on board with Timber Unity. I expect to see some bee trucks. I expect to see some dump trucks from the excavating companies along with Timber Unity from all corners of the state. Because if you don't, then you'll be like my adopted father. He's got roughly valued a retail value of two 24-foot bobtail trucks and one 2008 Dodge. Cap and trade, if this governor goes through an overreach like she's doing, and she'll mandate, along with California law, 2020, you will not be able to drive any of those in the state of California, period. That means my father got to replace those trucks will cost him, on the low end, cheap, $40,000 to $160,000. And the thing is this, who has to pay that cost? Are they going to front the money in advance so for down payment for one? Heck no. What good is a tax credit is going to give you when you need the money to replace it? This is why they messed us, the taxpayer, over on our kicker. This is why they, the federal Bolsheviks, the queen herself, Antoinette Kate Brown, she thinks she's holier than thou. And yes, I do believe that there is divine providence nationally. But I feel bad because our churches are silent in the state of Oregon. They will not come out because they're worried about a situation. They don't want to be ostracized by LGBTQXY. They don't want to come out because people don't want to walk on eggshells. They want to keep their pews filled. No, this is time that we meet, we the people, we us faithful, whatever faith you believe in, come together and make sure we do his will on earth as it is done in heaven. Because as I tell a lot of my fellow conservative constitutionalists throughout the corners of the state, the last two elections is evidence. You cannot go through and try to choose light. But at the same time, we had two elections before that where we tried to have a conservative, whether it's Alan Alley or various other people, and it didn't get elected because it wasn't God's timing. It wasn't divine providence. You can't expect the messianic Messiah, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees that seen Christ, knew about Christ on Isaiah, but yet they choose not to ignore it. Are we in the Republican Party? Are we of the conservative faith? Are we of the Christian faith going to sit by and go judging of this nature and not stand for our liberties? These are the questions that we need answered by all of us. Because if you don't put no skin in the game, then you'll be like California. You'll be like New York, Massachusetts, Maryland, Illinois. Far-left policies, ran out, high taxes, no accountability, and a mob mentality which we try to do what's right. I don't think I can explain it any better than that, except when I went back to California to see my 99-year foster mom, it was sickening to see that they all they want was more money, more for money, and the taxpayers, but few working or trying to keep a business in that state, have to pay the bills, each and every. It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to make a point on the ballot and go support our president and be bold, be courageous, support our faith, support our ideologies, go to the public schools, the school boards, the county local meetings, and hold these people accountable. Because your
All right, thank you, Ron. We got to go to the bottom of the hour break.
You.
Ron, I appreciate it. Good to hear your voice, brother. Be safe out
thank
there today.
You.
6:30. Back in a moment, folks. There's more. Don't go away.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends. Great to have you with us. It is 24 minutes to the top of the hour. So, let's talk a little bit about this issue of, you know, I try very hard to present the political issues of the day to you in what I hope is a thoughtful way that you can then share with others. The whole reason I do this show, folks, is to create opportunity for you and I to change our world. Now, I long have told you, as you know, that I believe the first and most important thing that people of faith should be doing is praying first for all of our leaders, even the ones you don't like. Yeah, Pelosi, Schumer, Kate Brown, Tina, Peter. Yep, all of them. We should be praying for them in many different ways. But at the same time, then, my role, then, I see, is not just to encourage you to do that, but then to get you to do something. Do something with everything you believe that is so important to you. Look, you don't waste your time, at least I don't, watching or listening to people that I think are lying, that I think are not only wrong, but are deceptively wrong. And that amounts to evil if you think about it. Now, all the stories that we're talking about today are powerful in that they are opportunities for you and I to make a difference in our world, to take these issues and to be able to present them to the persuadable people in our constitutional republic, which gives us the right to say things, and it gives us the right to influence others to vote and elect our leaders and elect the policies or vote for or against the policies we the people put forward. Now, I want to get, I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball at you here. Here's what it is. And then I want to get to more phone calls and emails. By the way, the number is 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Now, look. Emails, by the way, Jeff at 1220.am. Here's the curveball. Remember, as I was talking with Ron, and I asked this question about people of faith. What if there is a segment of the population of people of faith? And I'm talking to everybody here. Catholics, Protestants, doesn't matter. People of faith believe that Donald Trump was divinely chosen by God. And I got to tell you, I am of that opinion. Because to me, being a cynical political professional that I have at least in part have been for a number of years now, to me, it was absurd that a New York billionaire could become president of the United States. And he did. Now, I have to tell you that the odds of that happening are pretty slim, even though this great email I got from James Keeler. Billions is the name of it. So it's official, he writes. Bloomberg is running for president. No one can outspend him. So how fair is that for the other riffraff? I'd like to vote in our Dem primary just to vote against Michael Bloomberg. I wonder what sort of platform he'll run on. Will it be about common sense gun elimination? Certainly will be anti-Trump. Let's vote now. Yeah, so, you know, Bloomberg is running ads, and yeah, he's in the race, and we know all of that. He's a New York billionaire, folks. So here's a couple of curveballs for you. If we believe, people of faith, that Donald, it was divinely appointed by God that Donald Trump would be elected president of the United States. Because look at what his policies have done. They've encouraged liberty, respect for the rule of law. They've encouraged free market opportunities. They've encouraged so many things that we believe are right as conservatives, number one, but as people who believe in liberty. Now, okay, we believe that he was divinely appointed by God. Don't you think that people on the left think that, well, if a New York billionaire could be divinely appointed by God, don't you think that people on the left could think that another New York billionaire, a Michael Bloomberg, is worth apparently like $53 billion, that he could be divinely appointed by God to change America, to save the planet, to save us from the evils of guns, to save us from the evils of sugary sodas, to save us from the evils of carbon? What would you think if I said to you that there are plenty of people of faith who buy into that? Let me give you an example here, and this is the other curveball. And that is churches rising up, as Ron talked about. I mean, he doesn't think it's going to happen in Oregon. Statistically, Oregon has fewer churches than just about any other state in the union, which might be a reason why we have some of the problems that we have in this state. I don't know, electorally, but at any rate, let me give you a story about that. What if the churches don't rise up? What if the churches don't rise up because people, Christians in those churches, just don't like Donald Trump? Thinks that he is a liar, have bought into the liberal narrative of all this stuff going on, that he needs to be impeached, that that perfect phone call with the Ukrainian president is the absolute reason he should be impeached, that he's covering up all kinds of things, including, by the way, last night I watched 60 Minutes. Did any of you catch that? I did. And they continue to perpetuate the notion that the Russians had an impact, and it was the whole part of their reporting, that the Russians had an impact in the 2016 elections. So that whole segment, the whole story in 60 Minutes was about last night. Oh, and by the way, they interviewed Democrats, didn't interview any Republicans. Funny how that is. They can't let it go, can they? But there's lots of Christians who believe that. Let me share this with you. My mother and her husband have very good friends from their church. These are people who love the Lord, live it in their lives every day. I know these people personally. They could not oppose Donald Trump more. They think he's unholy, unrighteous. They think he is destroying this country, and that he must be defeated at all costs. How do you interact with people like that as a person of faith? What would happen if their pastor or people within their church that are friends with them started talking overtly in church about saving this nation, liberty, through voting for Donald Trump? What do you think these people would do? I can tell you that I think these particular people would be so badly, deeply offended, rather, that they would leave that church. That's my guess. And I'll tell you why. This is what's so important when we talk about these things, about Brad Parscale's op-ed in the Statesman Journal. These things of life that impact us, timber unity. The other story on OregonWatchdog.com about, in the Oregon Business Report, about these new, this one particular Nancy Pelosi-inspired bill in the U.S. House of Representatives that would dramatically increase the workload for small businesses. I mean, we're talking really small businesses here. And that the Attorney General of the United States, this is one of the other stories we're talking about, the Attorney General of the United States would say to the Oregon Supreme Court and the Washington State Supreme Court, the rules you're putting in place, barring federal officers from arresting, making arrests in federal courthouses, or excuse me, state courthouses, without a signed warrant, is unconstitutional. How can all of these issues be used to present to people of faith that there's a correlation between their faith and what this president is doing? Well, I'm going to share with you what I think that could be when we come back. 6:48 in the morning. What do you think? 503-589-1220. Stop the car. We got
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour. Last segment for today, if you want to call and comment on any of these things. I'm going to tell you what I believe is the way to do this, the way to share with people of faith specifically, who may not believe that Donald Trump was divinely appointed by God, like former Texas Governor Interior Secretary Rick Perry says in this Fox News interview. Divinely chosen by God to become president of this United States. Why would we believe that? And why would that be a good thing? 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. I'm going to share with you in just a moment. What's the correlation between that and persuadable people within the faith community? I want to remind you that Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care sells what I think is the highest of quality of CBD products. Why do I say that? Because they only buy their base CBD material from Oregon producers. And we have the toughest laws in the nation, folks. You know I grow hemp. There's no question about that. Now, CannaShield is their brand, and it is a great product. I use it, and I think you should too. And I use it because it helps me with a lot of things, including aching muscles and sleeping better. And you can learn a lot more about that just by going to their website, Vim Salem. That's V-I-M, vimsalem.com. Or if you're out and about in South Commercial, they're right next to Safeway. Just stop in and see them. There's a big billboard there that has an arrow pointing to where they are. Go down and check out CannaShield and Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. VimSalem.com is their website. So how is this? Well, let me share this with you. Because here's what I believe. I believe that there's two ways you can, I think, help people who are people of faith who don't necessarily or aren't maybe necessarily interested in voting for Donald Trump again to actually vote for Donald Trump, to help move them in that direction. And the first is something that I said earlier in the show. And those of you on the line, hang on. I'll get to you in just a moment. The callers, 503-589-1220. The first is this. God uses imperfect people and always has throughout the Bible, throughout the founding of this nation, to create this nation that has been such an incredible blessing to mankind and continues to be. And that Donald Trump, you may not like his personality sometimes, but you know what? You should like his policies because they are the policies that protect your religious liberty, protect everything you hold dear about faith, about fairness, because he's not just protecting faith, folks, but liberty. Not allowing his policies and his ideas that don't allow overregulation that destroys business. Like the story we're talking about with this proposed Illicit Cash Act is the name of it. It's a Nancy Pelosi-inspired bill. And it's a huge burden transferred from the banks now to every small business in the country. Or this issue of the rule of law. In other words, about illegal aliens, literally enforcing the law on illegal aliens. That's the same reason why we as people of faith adhere to and listen to the Bible's teaching about God's laws, His rules, His values. To people of faith, cannot ignore God's laws, God's rules. And we should not ignore man's rules, man's laws, as long as they're just and fair and honorable and true. I think those are arguments you can make to people of faith, like my mother's friends who detest Donald Trump. They're wonderful people of faith, love God every bit as much as I do. It might, just might, turn on a light bulb. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Art first and then to George. Art, good morning.
Hey, Jeff, good morning. Yeah, I can say that Trump has a lot of, is being influenced by a lot of people like Pompeo, Barr, the ex-governor of Texas, gosh, I'm forgetting his name right now, but who are deeply religious people. And obviously, I believe this has rubbed off on our president, and he's gotten more faith since he got involved in all of this stuff. And I've seen, you know, I've seen the improvements. Of course, he is imperfect. And, you know, throughout biblical history, God has chosen, like you said, imperfect people. But I do believe that Trump, President Trump, has a deeper faith in God and religion now than what he ever had, and it's showing.
I think it is also, Art. I think you're right, 100%. Got to let you go because I need to move to George. Thanks, brother. George, good morning. Quickly, what do you think?
To do it quickly, I think Donald's role model and everything is to emulate Cinderella's selfish sisters. So we don't like him either. Well, thank you.
Okay. All right. So George thinks that Donald Trump emulates Cinderella's selfish sisters. That's an interesting take on it. Rich writes me an email. So some people have mentioned that 16-year-olds can vote now. No, they can't. But he also says, also, Jesus was considered evil in his day. Remember, evil will twist as much as I can. Trump is not Jesus, obviously. But look how evil has twisted so much in the past few years. Yeah, it has. And Lee writes regarding my chosen one comment. Said, I hope the listeners understand that your question is a complex one. If you believe God is in control, well, then Trump serves with the approval of God. Is he the chosen one? Stop. Let's have a discussion about what that means and what the person making the question is referring to. In what context is the question formed? So many blast comments that have several meanings, which sets the masses in a spiral tailspin or in a direction without a compass. Let's define the question a bit more, please. People of faith must use the examples in faith history to understand that God is in control and fight for the principles the Bible teaches. Amen. Kind of interesting to think about, isn't it? I hope that you do as you go through the day, and I hope it's been fruitful for you to listen back tomorrow, and I hope you are too. Be blessed, all of you.